What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody. Are you there? Good morning and welcome back to my show, What the Health. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Gabby Allen, in case you didn't know, and you are in the right place if you want to start your day off in your health and fitness mindset, because that is what we do on this show. We dive into the never-ending, weird and fantastic world of health and fitness. And every week, I get to spend time with some incredible people, athletes, doctors, nutritionists, leading PTs and fitness professionals, and we discuss their forte and get their opinions on misconceptions, myths, and all these trends that we see on Insta and TikTok these days. We know it can be a battle, so it's amazing to have such a wealth of knowledge out there. But you've got some sat here right in front of you as well. So at the end of every show, we ask you for some fitness questions and I get to answer them. So if you want to do that, if you want to hear your question on this show, then follow us on Instagram at What The Health Show and drop us a DM with your juicy, gory fitness questions. And stick around to hear them at the end. So what's coming up on today's show then? We have a good one. Whose brain do I get to pick? We're going to be joined by Varun Banot, who I'm saying that right, CEO of the Magic AI, which is crazy stuff, and Olympic 3 medalist champion, Bryony Page. Can't wait to speak to them. So joining me now is the amazing Dr. Rachel Thomas, medical doctor specialising in mental health and longevity. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Rachel. How are you?
I'm really, really well. And thank you so much for having me on today.
No, you are a wealth of knowledge. I was having a good old stalk on your Instagram last night. You've got lots of little tips and stuff for people like me that just don't know how to get through the day without burning out. So first of all...
Well, firstly, I just was going to say thank you very much for saying that you're finding the tips helpful. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, no, they are great. I loved the one about the little boxes, putting things into urgent, non-urgent, and then, you know, non-important. I was like, yes, I'm actually going to do that today. I've got a list as long as my arm. Okay, so first of all, let's get the audience to get to know you a little bit better. So how did you first get working in the field of mental health?
Well, to be honest, all through medical school, I was at medical school at Oxford, I was just really fascinated by the mind and the brain. Obviously, our mental health and our physical health are so inextricably linked that the more I studied, really, even on the physical side, the more interested I actually became on the mental side as well. So since qualifying, I've worked in both NHS and private hospitals, and I obviously still work clinically. And on top of this, I've then done some postgraduate qualifications in neuroscience and functional medicine to really be able to give like a broad range of treatments, even when working with physical conditions, to then be able to add this sort of mental aspect to things as well, which I think is really, really important.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's like, I'm so glad that we live in a day and age now where people are encouraging the physical side of things for the mental health side of things, you know, because
totally
it is,
agree.
Even just as a person on my own, I could tell, like, I wish I could scream it from the rooftops, just move your body because it makes such a difference. I'm literally such a nicer person after I've trained or even just been out for a walk. So,
yes, no,
first of all then, what are your... let's just go straight into it. What are your top tips then for improving your mental longevity? Straight off the bat.
Well, it's really exciting time, as you say. I think it's a really exciting time with regards to longevity in general, and in particularly with regards to mental longevity. I think there's a lot of research that's coming out at the moment that we can learn from. And I'm really keen actually just to discuss some of the small things that we can do each day so that people that are listening have got a little toolkit to start working on, you know, literally today. And the first one that I would like to mention is one that you've literally just hit the nail on the head with, and that's exercise. So it doesn't have to be an enormous workout, even just a sort of a quick 20 minutes a day helps. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think most people can manage to fit into their day. So it doesn't need to be a great big heavy workout, just something little and often each day is really important. And then on top of that, this idea of trying to keep your mind active as well. So learning new things, whether it's languages, instruments, whatever it is, just trying to sort of challenge your mind. And also staying socially connected is really important too. So I know we all get so busy and sometimes we don't have time to see our friends or our family members as much as we would like to, but actually trying to make sure you do reach out to people, even if it's just a quick chat each day, is really good for both your mental health and your mental longevity.
I love that. I love that one.
And then a couple of other biggies as well that, like I said, are ones that people that are listening might be able to start including, our diet. So that has a really big impact. So trying to include foods that have lots of antioxidants, healthy fats, vitamins, minerals. And the idea behind including these is really to try and reduce some of the inflammation that we know is actually linked to cognitive decline. So lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, foods that are high in omega-3 fatty acids are important. So things like salmon, walnuts, and then also trying not to have too much in the way of processed food or high sugar foods.
It's just, isn't it crazy how everything impacts your, like, you know, everything impacts your gut health and everything impacts your mental health. It's all just, we're all so connected. And I
totally
just
agree.
I love that, as I said, like, I love that we are, you know, becoming so more aware of it, and we have the power of social media and people like you out there that are able to offer us all of these top tips. You know what else I love? The little 2-minute quick things that can help you relieve stress, which I loved on your page, which was like, just clear your workspace, or, you know, what was the other two that you did? Declutter your workspace, progression and mindful movement. I love those. That brings me on to ask you then, stress, because I feel like stress is a massive thing for a lot of people, even though we might not know that we are actually stressed. You know, there's like stress isn't like, oh my God, I've had a hard day, blah, blah, blah. But there's other things, environmental factors. What impact does stress have on the brain and the body?
I think it's a really, really good question. And I'm really glad you asked it, actually. And to be honest, I could quite happily spend all day talking about it because stress, as you've said, has a really big impact on both our body and our brain. So I think it's also quite important to understand how it works. So when we're stressed, as many people may realize, when you're stressed, your body releases hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and these are really useful. So they're released to help us handle a challenging situation. And as you and other people may have heard, that's called the fight or flight response. So it sort of arms our body to be able to fight or get away from whatever the thing is that we need to deal with. So in the short term, really helpful, gives you energy, focus, and helps you deal with whatever the immediate issue is. However, the problem starts with partly with how we live, to be honest, because this stress response becomes chronic. And when we have this chronic repetitive stress never really resolves for us, it can start leading to these negative effects that, as you say, people often associate with stress. So high levels of these hormones can start to disrupt the way our brain normally functions, particularly in areas like our hippocampus, which is really important for memory and learning. So it can be harder to think clearly, remember things and make decisions. And it can also start to affect another area called the amygdala, which is really important for emotions. And that's why sometimes when you're chronically stressed, you can start to seem a bit more anxious or a bit more sort of reactive to things that you wouldn't normally react to. And then over time, you know, as we were saying earlier, physically, mentally, things are all linked. Chronic stress can start contributing to things like headaches, higher blood pressure, a decreased immune system, and even heart disease. And then mental health issues can also sort of stem from chronic stress, like anxiety and depression. So,
you know what I saw? Sorry to interrupt you, but you know what I saw the other day? There was it was actually on Instagram, and it was someone that they said the quickest way to calm your central nervous system is literally just by slowing down, just slowing down in general. You know, I'm always rushing to get the bus, well, the train. I'm always like, even brushing my teeth, I'm running around the house, like brushing my teeth, doing something else. Like, I'm always doing something whilst I'm doing something else. And I'm always like rushing. And I feel like when you actually just take a step back and you go, Gab, you're not going to miss the train. You've left enough time, or, you know, actually just take a moment to just pull back and stop being so manic. That has like such an impact on like my stress levels.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. And I think you might even find that when you're doing those little moments of just slowing down, that's almost really like a mini mindfulness practice. You're actually just slowing down for a minute, maybe taking a little bit more notice of your breath or how you're feeling. And actually that can act as like a little mini grounding anchor that then actually is a mindful moment to help sort of, as you say, slow things down, reconnect with what it is that you need to be doing rather than sort of getting too tangled up in everything else.
Yeah. And then is that like what you would call burnout? Like, I feel like we see this everywhere these days, you know, everyone saying, oh, they're burnt out. Like, what actually is burnt out?
So it's, again, a really good question. So burnout classically now actually does have particular symptoms associated with it that are you know, you're not enjoying your work, you're starting to even feel depersonalized from what's going on at work. So it does have a medical definition. However, I think that people are generally tending to just use it to express the fact that, you know, they're at full tilt and, you know, maybe even past full tilt, and just the way they're, you know, juggling everything isn't really working for them at the moment. So I think that's kind of the definition that a lot of people are using when they say that they're feeling burnt
And
out.
how would you recommend, like, to what's your biggest combat for that then? How do we prevent getting burnt out?
Well, again, there are lots and lots of things we can do, but I would really like to just talk about three practical evidence-based ones that you know people that are listening now could try to start implementing. And the first one really, I think, would be similar to what you've said, just to try and have a little moment of either mindfulness or just trying to slow down a moment. And you know, this doesn't need to be a big commitment. It can just literally be a couple of minutes where you notice your breath, and you try to notice it without judging it and without creating a story around what's going on. Just literally trying to notice some physical sensations, or you know, whether it's the ground under your feet or the temperature of something you're holding. Like literally just trying to ground yourself in some kind of physical sensation just for a moment or two, because as you've said, that can really help to just slow things down. Another really important one, which also ties back to our conversation earlier about stress, is prioritizing sleep. Now, I think there are more conversations around sleep. However, for many of us, it still does slip to the bottom of the list on what we should be doing, given that we've got so much to get through in the day. But sleep is really, really important. So
I think
chronic sleep deprivation can really
100%.
significantly add to burnout and your risk of burnout.
100%. And I'm so glad that you actually mentioned that today, because my sleep last night was terrible and I feel like it just makes everything heightened. But I'm going to have to take those top tips and two top tips for today. And I feel like if anybody else wants any more tips, you need to go to Dr. Rachel's page, because she is just a wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much for coming on today's show, my lovely. I hope you have a
Really
great rest
lovely
of
to
your
chat
day.
with you. And you as well. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you
Really
so
lovely to chat.
Lovely to chat. Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Coming up after this break, I'll be joined by the Olympic 3 medalist champion, Bryony Page. See you then.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You
no,
go, you go there.
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think you said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
Hello, hello, hello. Are we back in business? I think we are. Right, so I want to talk to you about my accessory of the week. Changing up a little bit up in here today. Right, it's a common theme on here on What The Health Show about my weak little wrists. It's a chronicle, and as we know, I'm doing what I can to strengthen them. I'm doing my farmer carries, I'm doing my dead hangs, my dumbbell wrist curls, these things. But seeing as these fuckers will not strengthen, I need to talk about the genius that devised the wrist straps, because, guys, I'm doing 30 kg. 30 kg in each hand, dumbbell RDLs, with ease, may I add. And without them, I can probably only do around 16 kg. But not to fear, thanks to the straps, the gains are still going to be gaining because I can lift heavier, because I can do it with the straps on. So yeah, if you haven't already, I suggest you go and get some wrist straps and get those gains going because it's a game changer. So I have a very exciting guest now. I don't know if she can hear me. Can she hear me? Bryony Page, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can see you looking fabulous. Okay, guys, so we have the incredible Bryony Page joining me today on today's show. She is a 3-time Olympic medal winner. First place, second place and third place, right?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, yeah. My God, she's literally amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Really looking forward to it.
So, you're a trampolinist and an Olympic champion, obviously. I want to get to know you a little bit better, though, and let the audience get to know you a little bit better. So we're going to ask you some very quick-fire questions, okay? So literally, just off the bat, give me your answers, yeah?
Okay.
3 words to describe yourself.
Creative, hardworking, ambitious.
Amazing. Okay, upper or lower body day?
Lower body.
Always. Girls always go for a little
body. Always legs. Always. Yeah.
Workout in the morning or the evening?
Morning.
Yeah, same. And who is your dream workout partner?
Shauna Coxey.
Okay, who's that? Should I know this?
She's a sport climber.
Oh, amazing. Okay, yeah. And then lastly, what is your go-to workout anthem? What do you vibe to?
The first thing that came to my head was Disney, but I...
You know what? I'm not a Disney person, but loads of people are, so fair. Okay, so how does it feel to be called an Olympic champion? Like, what the actual F?
Yeah, it feels really surreal at the moment. Because it was like literally a month ago yesterday.
I know. Crazy.
It's crazy that it's gone so fast. And I'm kind of like waiting for that moment for it to sink in, but it's not really happening. So when someone says it just feels so surreal, like it's almost someone else.
You're literally like living in a dream. Like I've just been on your Instagram just before here as well. I obviously followed you earlier, and the picture of the moment that you won, and you're literally just like, what the actual fuck? I've worked all my life to get to this point, and you did it. So can you talk us through your journey leading up to the Paris Olympics then? What were some of the biggest challenges you faced?
Yeah, so my biggest challenge for these Olympics was just my ankle. After World Championships last year in November, which was one of my favourite competitions of all time, but I was carrying like an ankle injury, and that just continued on. And I've just been struggling with kind of being able to get the volume of my training in and like not being in so much pain. So luckily I have a huge, amazing team around me that have like got me into the Olympics in one piece and with minimal pain. But it just meant that I had to kind of change my tactics a little bit, change my routine, and just train really, really smart and efficiently. So that was probably my biggest challenge, because I think although like physically it was challenging, but also I think mentally it was more challenging, because obviously you want to be in the best shape possible going into the games, and just didn't quite feel like I had had that with the build-up, just feel like I've been chasing time, and each competition in the build-up just kind of going, oh, I wish I had like 2 or 3 more weeks. And then luckily, like the tactics that I played kind of going into the last few weeks or like month or two going into the games, they just helped me be able to build my confidence, yeah. The consistency of my routine, the quality of my routine. So although I didn't go for the big routine that I wanted to compete, it was still competitive. It was still the highest difficulty routine.
Mate,
there at the women.
You won.
So
you won.
It was
so,
okay.
I mean...
It worked out.
What the hell? Also, can I ask you what these tactics, it sounds very like mysterious. Are you not allowed to share them? Is it top
no,
secret?
No, of course. Yeah. So the World Championships last year, I competed a 3-triple routine, which not many women have ever competed, just a handful. So that one was the one that won me World Championships last year. But my highest scoring routine was the one that I did do at the Olympics in the end, which is an easier routine by like 0.6, 0.8. So it's quite a significant difference. But it, because it could be more like higher quality and it was more consistently kind of getting that quality in, we just went with that, even though the higher difficulty routine has the higher potential of scoring well, but it just was kind of more hit and miss. So we went for the
what's
more
that saying
getting...
quality over quantity. Like, you absolutely, like, this precision of everything that you did was like, you obviously absolutely nailed it, rather than like trying to do a bit too much. Maybe the ankle injury was like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and me and my coach have kind of spoken about that, because in the finals, which is where we would have put in this 3-triple routine, people just weren't hitting their best routine work. So, and the same with me, like I didn't hit my best stuff, and everyone was hitting kind of high quality, just not absolutely outstanding. And the judging was a little bit harsher. So I think like if you made a slight mistake, you were just getting absolutely hammered for it. Mm. And obviously the higher risk routine would have been like that potential of it not going very well,
yeah.
And being hammered. So we would have, because I was up 7th out of 8 people. We
the weight.
Gone in that moment.
Oh my God, the
yeah,
weight.
We might have changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might have gone, oh, you want to, let's downgrade and go for the other routine that's more consistent, rather than, you don't need the big routine.
Would so they do that like on the day? Even though you've been like practicing up to that point, like on the day, could you be like, actually, I'm just going to change it?
Yeah, definitely. Like I wouldn't have wanted to do that. Mm. Because like the whole point of training a hard routine is to be able to compete it. But in those moments, sometimes you have to make that decision. And I would have been training the other routine anyway, just as a backup.
Yeah.
Which essentially was what was happening. But I did change my routine in the end in the final, not before I competed, but in the moment. So
no
just
way.
The last skill.
Mid twist in the air, you're like, actually, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do a backflip now instead of a front flip.
Yeah, well, it's just it's a kind of a comfortable downgrade. So I didn't have to change it massively. It was just taking away one twist. So I wanted to finish with a triple twisting double back, but I just did a double twisting double back. So, and I made that decision sort of, I thought about it in skill 8 and then made the decision in skill 9. So it wasn't mid skill that I made that decision. It was a few skills before, but
crazy to me, because obviously when I'm watching it, it all happens so fast. But I suppose you're just like in the air, just like twiddling your thumbs, like, oh, you know what? I'm actually going to do a double twist rather than a triple twist. That's crazy. Honestly, the performance was just outstanding, and you're just incredible to watch. Can I ask, thanks, just being nosy, you know, when you land, like, are you trying to land on the like points, you know, the cross points each time?
Yeah, so there's a middle cross, a cross in the middle of the trampoline, and there's like a tiny little box, like a meter box around it. Basically, yeah. If we're in that zone, it's a 0 deduction. If we like deviate from that, there's like other zones. So you'll kind of see the trampoline is split into a few different squares and rectangles. If we're the further away we get from the cross, the more deductions we get. So if we're right in the corner, we'll get a 0.3 deduction. If we're on the end, 0.2, and on the side as well, and then just slightly out of the box, it'll be a 0.1. So you're basically trying to land in the box where the cross is in the middle of the trampoline, because that obviously shows the most control.
Yeah, because I used to do trampoline back in the day, and we didn't have any crosses like that on our trampoline, so I was just intrigued looking at it this morning. So we've talked about your physical preparation up into the Olympics, but what is it like, especially I suppose because you were injured as well, but what was it like preparing mentally for it? Like, had you prepared? I know you say that you were shocked that you won, but had you prepared yourself to win, or do you prepare yourself to lose?
Both actually. So like from the start of this year, I've been extremely like really stressed out about the Olympics and like my training. So just working, and I obviously like knew about the Olympics and the qualification process before that, and I've been to two other Olympic Games, but I've worked with a sports psychologist for many years now. And we just kind of like focused in on the Olympics for this year. And just worked on kind of how to prepare for a bad outcome and kind of be okay with it and know that you can kind of, if it does go badly, like what are the other things in your life that are going to help you like pick up from that, like seeing friends and family to realize you've got more to life than trampolining. But also you want to prepare for yourself to give yourself the best shot, and prepare for winning. So, and realizing kind of what are the pros and cons of that? How can you deal with the, like how can we thrive with the win, but also how can you kind of cope with the small negatives that there might be? So I guess like moving on for the next year, like the extra pressure that you might feel or expectations, a bit more media than normal.
Yeah.
So yeah, just kind of preparing in all those different circumstances. So to do for both, but mainly you're just trying to focus back on the technical work that you're doing on the trampoline and let your muscle memory take over a little bit as well.
100%. And do you think because you've had great success in previous years too, that almost like prepares you for the next one along, right? As you just said, like,
yeah, definitely. So Tokyo Olympics, I felt the pressure to kind of win a medal again because of getting that in Rio, where there was no pressure on me because kind of I wasn't expected to do that. In my own head, I was training as an Olympic medalist and wanted to win an Olympic medal, but also would have been happy literally just getting on the trampoline, presenting and crashing, because it meant that I was becoming an Olympian and that was my kind of ultimate dream at that time. But I thought maybe I could try and push for a medal if everything went to plan, which it did. And then when it came to Tokyo, obviously with the delayed year, we had a whole year extra and kind of disruption in training and hadn't competed internationally for a whole year. So going into that competition and like I felt the pressure of trying to deliver a medal and bring one home for Team GB and trampoline and British gymnastics. So obviously that's all, no one put pressure on me. I just felt it
to your own,
myself.
Yeah, of course.
So that competition like prepared me for this one and knew how to deal with that sort of pressure and expectations a little bit better. And I was able to enjoy it a little bit more as well, a lot more, because the competition in Tokyo, there was no audience, there was no crowd, and that just felt like a glorified trial event. It was really strange for me. Like, I like performing in front of a crowd.
Yeah, definitely. And, yeah, it gives you the extra, vibe.
Yeah, exactly. And, having that feeling of, I guess feeling the rumble of the floor when the crowd cheers.
Oh, my God. I just got goosebumps.
It was so loud as well. Paris was amazing. Like, the Olympics is the biggest crowd that we'll get in trampolining because it's that multi-discipline sport. It's the, you know, the pinnacle of our sport. So,
yeah,
as well as World Championships. But this one, you have people that go and watch trampolining that have never seen it before, whereas a trampoline World Championships generally are, like, people that are trampoline fans and want to go and watch it. But whereas the Olympics, you'll have people that have just won the ballot in the tickets, or they're like, they need to fill a space. So you get people that kind of, the feel of the crowd is different as well, because mid routine they'll start cheering, or the start of the routine they'll cheer, and it, like normally in trampolining they people kind of just stay quiet unless there's something going wrong, and they'll be like, go on, and cheer you on. But generally they don't kind of scream if you do something amazing.
You're like, okay, yeah, that was good. Does that put you off though, or do you think, like, you know, when you're going up there, is it almost as if you zone out and you're in your own little world?
A little bit of both. So I normally kind of zone out in my own world, but in Rio, I really remember, like, at the start of my routine, the crowd kind of were cheering, which, like I said, doesn't really happen. So when they started to cheer, I was like, oh, if you like that, let me show you else what I can do. So, like, I kind of took it in as a positive.
Yeah.
And then
that's amazing, you know, having the confidence to just, well, do, as you said, make changes on the spot, but also just, like, you know, having the confidence to be like, well, yeah, I can also do this and I can do that. That is just amazing. Like, you're just incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, you just want to embrace the crowd. Like, I worked really hard with my sports psychologist last year in the build up to the home World Championships, because in Birmingham, in front of a home crowd, I felt like I was really going to struggle with that. Because I do for British Championships, I find that quite difficult. Whereas when I went to World Championships last year, because of the work that I put in, I actually really started to enjoy having the home crowd, to the point where I was kind of smiling before getting on a trampoline to compete, which, like, normally I'm very kind of focused and, like, a little bit kind of anxious or excited for, so nervous for the competition rather than trying to embrace the crowd before getting on. So that allowed me to feel that going into Paris, and I enjoyed the competition more because I could smile and feel excited.
You've kind of like experienced it
before even competing.
Even though it's not like the Olympic crowd, you still like kind of like got a bit of experience there. Oh my God, I get such bad stage fright. I'm a dancer back in the day, and I used to be great, like when I'd be learning my lessons and, you know, performing to my teachers. But then as soon as I got on stage, I'd be like, ooh, I'd get stage fright and just forget what I was doing. So yeah, I'm really actually, you know, impressed by that. Can I ask you, did you say you're from Birmingham? Is that where you grew up?
No, that was just where the home...
Oh, okay. I was like, you don't sound like you're from Birmingham.
No, not too far away, just Cheshire.
Okay, well, not far from me then, Liverpool. So when you were growing up, like, did you have to sacrifice so much? Or, like, do you feel it was, like, such hard work? And is it all worth it now? I mean, obviously it is in the end. But do you feel like, you know, growing up as an athlete, did you have to sacrifice a lot?
So I think, like, compared to my friends, like, they would have seen it as a sacrifice. So like, oh, you have to miss this holiday or this party or, you know, I don't know, like extra things that people can do. But for me, I just really love trampolinings, and the benefits that I got from being part of a team and a sport, like massively outweighed any sacrifices that I felt. So I don't really feel like I've made that many sacrifices because it's kind of, I've wanted to proceed and
progress
in trampolining, and I love being part of this sport. So, you know, I've been able to travel the world, compete in different countries, make friends across the world and experience different cultures, and be able to perform the sport that I love to do in front of crowds and compete and win medals. Like, medals aren't everything, of course, but it helps a lot.
100%. I mean, put it this way, if you could look back at your younger self and be like, guys, I don't care about going out on the streets with my mates on my bike. I've got a gold medal from the Olympics. What the hell? Have you got it? Can I see it? Have you got it on you now?
Oh, I do have it, but it's packed away. But I can go and get it if you want by the end of the show.
Yes, I would love that, please. Amazing. Yes, amazing. So can I ask you then, what are the future goals? I mean, you've done so many amazing things already. Is it now, I know that you say that you don't go and, you know, it's not just about the medals, but is it now like you've kind of like, you've got the gold. So what happens now?
So kind of like I felt after Rio Olympics, which was for me, the silver medal felt like a gold medal because I didn't think I could kind of beat that. And I just approached training a little bit freer and a bit more kind of focused on, obviously I was focusing on results goals. But for me, like one of my goals was to complete this 3-triple routine internationally, which took many, many years. So finally got it at the age of 32. So it was something that I learned that skill when I was 17, if not earlier. Wow. So it took a long time to fit into an international competition routine. So like that was one of my goals. I guess the goal from here would be to kind of improve on that and maybe go for, I don't know if it's possible, but maybe a 4-triple routine or put in some of the skills that I've never competed before into competition, even if the routine doesn't kind of make sense or tactfully isn't going to score well. I just really like to be able to showcase the skills that I can do that aren't in my routine and put them in. So I guess it's kind of my own personal goals in terms of trampoline and breaking my own like glass ceiling and trying to showcase what women can do in our sport. And I guess competition wise, we've got World Games next year that I'd really like to compete in. So it's essentially like the Olympic Games for non-Olympic disciplines. So synchronized trampoline isn't in the Olympics, so it is in World Games. So me and my synchro partner Izzy would absolutely love to compete at World Games.
Oh my God, yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. So like a multi-sport event that's like not the Olympics, it'll be really interesting because for trampolining, the only event that I've ever competed in that's multi-sport is the Olympics. So it would be another opportunity and another experience, and that's interesting.
You're gonna do it and you're gonna absolutely smash it. And you know, I think now that you like, you're just a dream. If your synchronized partner was here and I said to her, who's your dream workout partner, she would say you, because
I'm not sure. Do you know what, actually, she really prefers working out on her own. She doesn't like company or anything. She likes just kind of putting her headphones on and getting to work out. So I don't think she would choose anyone.
Oh, fair enough. I'm the same, to be honest. Right, before you go, can you go and get me your medal? Is that possible?
Yes.
Go.
Of course.
Now.
I'll be like, 30 seconds.
Okay,
to count down.
I'll count you. 30. 29. Oh my God, guys, we get to see an Olympic medal like up close and personal. How amazing. You know, when I talk to people like this, it just makes me, I want to get back into trampoline. And now I'm like, right, Googling, where's the closest trampoline place that I can go to? Although I don't think my flexibility these days would get me that. Oh my God, she's back. Da, 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 da. Wow.
So this is the side that has the Eiffel Tower part in it.
Yeah.
And that's like the one that's consistent with all my three medals. So.
Oh my God, it's absolutely beautiful. Well done. Snaps for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on today's show, babe. You are amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, you've already smashed that glass ceiling, but keep going, keep going, keep going. And I think you're onto big and wonderful things. It's been amazing to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Have an amazing rest of your day. Take care. Bye. Wow. So coming up after this, I'll be joined by Varun Bhanot, CEO of The Magic AI. Interesting chat coming up. See you then.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
The Fubar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You wanna go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think you said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Okay, we are back in business, and I have a very interesting chat coming up with my friend here, Varun Bhanot. Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, that's all right.
Good. CEO of The Magic AI. Guys, it's a mirror that you can train with. It's like a PT at home through a mirror, so you can see yourself, but you're also getting trained by it. Amazing. So, hello. How are you?
Hey, good to see you. Yeah, I'm slightly anxious given my lead-up was an Olympic gold medalist, so I'm not sure how I'm gonna follow that.
Listen, she's amazing, but you are just as amazing. So, talk to me then about this incredible Magic AI. It's leveraging artificial intelligence to help individuals achieve their fitness goals. Can you give us an overview of the technology and its core features, please?
Yeah, so what we are developing is essentially an AI personal trainer. So what you typically would go into the gym and pay a human, in London it can be, you know, from £50 to £100 an hour to work with someone. We are essentially automating a lot of that using a mixture of AI and this very cool piece of hardware. It's essentially a mirror that you put up in your home. Looks no different from, you know, the type of mirror you might buy from a slick interior design shop or IKEA. But when you turn it on, it suddenly you get a hologram of a trainer that actually appears in the mirror. And there's a little camera embedded. So when you're following the workouts, kind of like how you might have followed workouts on YouTube or through an app. But what's very different is that the camera will actually track your form, give you live feedback, count your reps, correct you when you're doing it wrong. It even recommends when to sort of change your weights now as well, based upon how well you're doing. So yeah, automating sort of all those things you sort of had to go into a specific place at a specific time and meet a trainer to do. We're trying to bring that into sort of a more inclusive, accessible environment within the home. And that's basically what we're doing.
That's amazing. So first of all, you're going to put people like me out of a job.
Oh, well.
So thanks for that. Everybody turn the radio off. No, it does sound amazing. And so it kind of reminds me of those, the Wii Fit things.
Right.
Yeah, but without the things that you have to hold. So is it all done on like infrared?
Yeah, so we don't actually depend on any sort of wearable. I mean, we do sell dumbbells, but there's no like sensors or anything like that. It all just comes from the camera. So, and the reason why that's actually really important is because there's lots of exercise that people, you know, some people don't like strength or they don't feel comfortable doing it, but what they love doing are things like yoga and boxing and Pilates, and things like that obviously just involve your body weight. So we're very keen to develop an AI that can work sort of with a single camera and can track sort of what the human's doing.
That's amazing. So you do all that then? So you do strength, obviously, yoga, Pilates, dance, boxing.
Stretching, obviously rehab. So, you know, if you've got an injury and, you know, you need to stretch your legs or, you know, your arms in a certain way. We do some HIIT. So, you know, jumping jacks, running on the spot, all that sort of stuff. But what's amazing is it'll actually track how long you're doing it for and whether you need to, you know, lift your knees higher or your bum needs to be lower or whatever.
Ass to the grass, guys. So, and then talk to me, do you create fitness plans on there? So say if someone like me was to sign up and I got this magic mirror, would you be able to give me a fitness program over like 4 weeks, 6 weeks? Like,
yeah,
how does that work?
So typically the programs are about 4 weeks long. You put in, you know, are you a beginner, intermediate, advanced, you know, what's your height, weight, gender? And the system will actually personalize basically a four-week program just for you. So, you know, if you want to tone up, lose weight, gain muscle, it will literally formulate a four-week plan for you. And then we also have things like just classes, which are kind of like just one-off. You want to jump in for 30 minutes or 15 minutes, just do a quick pump up. We have loads of those as well. So kind of something for everyone. And that's sort of what we set out to achieve really with this.
Yeah, because that's what when I was having a look at it yesterday, I was like, it's actually so good because anybody can do it. A lot of people might not want to go to the gym or don't want to go to classes in person because it's a bit like daunting, or you know, especially if you're getting back into fitness or if you're a beginner. So I feel like you've done really well in that way, that, you know, it's, as you said, word of the day, inclusive. It makes people
easier. Yeah, and I know what you're all about, Gabby, is like body positivity, particularly for females, and making people feel more balanced. And that's really what our mission was. And I think what really inspired it is when we realised this really interesting fact, which is 15% of the population have a gym membership, which is about 10 million people. But actually, what's amazing is 38 million people just don't work out at all. They don't go into the gym. They barely even do their steps. And when we were looking at the reasons why is that, it's because it's either, you know, too intimidating, people are just too time poor, or perhaps it's just too expensive. And so what we are trying to do is build something that can replace all of those three, like solve those three problems for people. We see a huge number of customers who are like above 35, female, because it kind of solves for them. So, you know, being in an inclusive environment where, you know, often it can be intimidating, not for you, but for lots of other people, it can be intimidating going into like a strength-based kind of gym.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%.
But bringing that into sort of the safe space of their home where they can get all of that feedback and tracking, that basically speaks to that user group really, really well.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. And Have you had like many success stories from it, from people signing up?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know what to expect when we first launched this thing. And then we started getting, particularly from that sort of slightly more female, over 35, like a lot of them are like mums who suddenly started saying, look, I've had a baby, I can't get out the house, you know, my timing's all over the place, but I want to get back into shape. And something like this enables me to just jump in, do something, work it around my schedule. And then, you know, we started seeing on Trustpilot, people are losing, you know, 4 kilos and 6 kilos. And we were like, wow, this thing's actually working. Like, we couldn't quite believe it. It's just bringing that flexibility to people just seems 100%. To have really made a difference.
I think that's definitely for people that want to work out from home. I get people come to me and they're, you know, moms and they're like, I just can't get out of the house. The time they're doing squats holding the baby. I'm like, at least the baby's like 5 kg. I think you've done well in that way because it does make it accessible for anybody and everybody to do it from home. So how does Magic AI, is that how you call it?
Yeah, the Magic AI mirror.
The Magic AI mirror. Address the common challenges of motivation and consistency then within people's fitness routine. Because I find that is a lot of the reason why people fall off the bandwagon. They don't have someone like me being like,
kicking them up the bandwagon.
Get your freaking workout done, get your steps in. Yeah. How do you combat that using the mirror?
Yeah, so that's actually a tricky one. And that's something that we're going to work more and more on over time. I think one of the things we've often seen with general apps, like things like Strava, which is a very popular running app, and also Fitbits, which I'm a big fan of, is they really lean in very hard to the community. So
you have a leaderboard,
you can see how your friends are doing, you can challenge them. And obviously we've got this camera, it's in people's homes, you can actually take a selfie at the end of the workout. So I think leaning further into sort of that community kind of accountability and
100%.
Seeing how others are doing and potentially challenging them and trying to beat them. So we give everyone a score at the end of the class based upon like how good their form quality was and also how many reps they did. And basically just trying to gamify it. And I think that's also why WeFit did really well back in the day. So I think that's a key part. And then just giving them a kick via email and text. And saying, you know,
have
what's
you
going on?
It?
Yeah, and I think we will develop a version in the future where the mirror will actually turn on and you'll see someone standing there saying, oi.
Is it going to be you?
It won't be me. Someone much more intimidating, I can assure you. Yeah. We need someone very, very big. So anyway, that's the idea. Let's see.
I think that's a good idea. But I also do, like, just going off my own experience, community is just such
so
a plays such a huge part in all of my businesses because it's... When people feel like they're part of something, it makes them want to come back for more.
I know, yeah.
And, you know, when it inspires people, when you feel like you're part of a movement as such. Yep. I've got Facebook groups with all my communities on there.
Sure.
And when people are posting their workout, like, you know, posts sweaty selfies, it makes the person that hasn't worked out go, oh, shit, maybe I should do that.
Yeah.
And it inspires them and motivates them. And, you know, it's just definitely something that you guys should get a Magic AI community Facebook group going. Also, I used to work for Fit. Don't know if you know Fit.
Yes, we know.
And that reminded me then when you said about the leaderboards and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because once again, people are competitive. And once they get into the swing of things, like if they know that they can like do something at the same time as everybody else and then essentially win if you give them incentives then
exactly right. We need you on board
I can work with
you. When is the show finished?
So talking about the more advanced them of the people in the world, is there options for people like say for me would I go on there and be able to do workouts that would suit my level?
So what we found is about 65-70% of people who buy this and then, you know, they do, when you first sign up, you select like sort of what level you're at. 65-70% say they're beginners. So these are people who've never really lifted a dumbbell, never, you know, been into a gym. So at the moment, it's mainly focused towards that sort of beginner intermediate level because they're the ones who sort of struggle the most. You know, they're the ones who don't really go in. And as I said, we're sort of focused on that 38 million who just don't. They don't go at all. So I think you're the person we need actually doing the programs on the you know, appearing in as a hologram.
There you go, being hired, guys.
So we do have some advanced, but generally it's sort of 10-20%. Yeah.
And I think it's one of them, isn't it? Like know your target audience. Yeah. Know that someone like that is more advanced probably will just go to the gym.
Yeah.
And it's about like starting people off on their fitness journeys and just getting them further enough along so that they can then, you know, move on to something else, maybe.
Something else. Yeah,
or maybe there's a world where you can like bring in like more of the heavier side of things. Oh my god, I'm on one now and I'm like thinking of all these ideas.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, if you do bring in the heavier side of things, and then you could do more strength-based programs with those kind of things.
I mean,
involved.
The future of where we're going with it is what we want to start doing is actually using it to scan the user's body so we can give them a reading into their body fat and their muscle mass and, you know, oxygen and blood pressure.
Yeah.
And then actually start prescribing like a fitness program based upon
Sick.
Whatever their goals are.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a step above what the humans are currently doing.
Yeah.
And you know, there's various machines you can step on and stuff. But
yeah,
if
I did
we can
that
actually
the other day.
Do that in your home, and you know, that could be a really exciting future where we could literally transform people's lives.
Literally, yeah. You're going to have the mirror and the like scales and all the like.
Right.
my God. Well, that's the thing though with the AI. There's like a never ending world of things that you can do.
Yeah.
And I think you've had an amazing start.
Like,
you definitely got a head start with things, other things in the industry that are trying to do similar. So well done you.
Thank you
so much for coming in today. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah,
I would
likewise.
Like to have a go on one of these mirrors. So next time, bring it in.
Yeah, next time. Yeah, absolutely. I challenge you to that now.
Okay, love it. Well, we'll have a little competition.
Okay.
That's what you should do. Have competition with people.
I think you might win against me, but yeah.
Love it. Thank you so much, my love. It's
Thank
a pleasure
you.
To meet you.
Lovely to meet you, Gabby.
Okay. Amazing. Turned off the wrong mic there. Okay, amazing. So I definitely want to have a go of one of these magic AI mirrors. I've actually seen other people on my Instagram doing them and they look so fun. So go and check it out. It's magic.fit on Instagram and see if it tickles your fancy. So we're moving on to the time that I get to talk loads to you, listener questions for future in advance. If you haven't sent any questions in and after you've listened to these now and you want me to answer anything, please do send them over to @whatthehellshow on Instagram and I will answer them in next week's show for you. So first of all, Jamie asks, how important is it to combine strength training with cardio in my fitness routine? Can you provide some help on how to balance these two types of exercise for optimal health and performance? So we've spoken about this recently. They definitely should be done together, as in like as part of your routine, and they definitely have their both like their own benefits. I would probably prioritize strength training first, as that's what's going to, you know, build your muscle mass, build your overall capacity and strength, obviously. But cardio alongside that is going to give you the aesthetic maybe that you're looking for. Basically, the reason people combine both of them is obviously for the cardiovascular performance side of doing all your cardio training, which will therefore improve your strength stuff. But it's also to, like for me, for example, I do them because I want lean gains. So I'm eating to be able to eat lots of protein, lots of food to be able to build my muscle mass and, you know, to get stronger and create the physique that I want. But alongside that, I do the cardio to kind of sculpt and tone the body to how I want it to look, you know, after I've eaten all the food. But I think what I would suggest is doing, for me at the moment, I'm doing five strength sessions a week and two runs. And then alongside some of my strength sessions, I also will get on the cardio machines, like a bike or a treadmill, and do 20 to 40 minutes of list cardio. So your heart rate is between 130 to 140, mine will be as a 32-year-old female. And that's just going to help you, just helps sculpt the body and support your strength work as well. So hopefully that helps, my friend, Jamie. Moving on to Gemma's question. I get bored of workout plans so quickly. What are some quick exercises I can add to my current plan that can help me stay consistent and make most of my limited workout time? Okay, so first of all, unfortunately, sometimes it can get boring. That's just as simple as it is. We all get bored every now and again, but it just depends on what the goal is. And also, I find that your environment, your workout environment, your playlist, the times that you train, whether you have a PT, there's all of these factors that can contribute to making it a little bit more exciting. So if you have someone like me, a PT in your pocket, your online coach, you feel like you've got someone along with you on the journey. So it makes it just a little bit more exciting when somebody's like, how did you go? And like, hey, Gem, have you done your glute workout today? Like, you know, have you got your steps in? Like, what are you doing this week? Just so it motivates you to go a little bit more because it can fall off the bandwagon. Or I would say, I don't know how long you're following these plans for, but 4 to 6 weeks, I don't know about you, but my life goes by so quickly. So that should be as long as you follow something for and then change it up a little bit. But you can add in some like spicy things, you know, maybe add in some like little finishes at the end of your workouts, or maybe get a workout buddy to come along with you. There's things that you can do to make it a little bit more exciting. But at the end of the day, patience and discipline is what it comes down to. You need to get on a very good workout playlist or podcast. Maybe you should listen to this, any of the shows that you haven't listened to. So yeah, hopefully that helps, Gem, and happy training. Guys, on that note, I am going to go and also do my own glute workout for today. I've got a banging heavy metal playlist to listen to. I will see you again next week at 11 a.m. on FUBAR Radio for What the Health Show. In the meantime, I hope you have the most amazing week. Get training, get the steps in, and I will speak to you next time. Have a great day, guys. Lots of love. Speak to you soon.